911去 emergency。
Welcome to Decoding the Crime Verse right here on Active FM. I'm Nelzy Lee.
And I am Danny. And today,
we are talking about...
Sorry, my brain's my brain's at ABBA. If you don't like ABBA...
If you don't know who ABBA is, because I was speaking to someone today who was like, I don't know who ABBA is.
No,
like, that's
today,
a crime.
Someone today told me ABBA sings Bohemian Rhapsody, okay? So...
That's a crime. That is a crime. Anyway,
if you don't know who sings Bohemian Rhapsody, it's Queen.
Yeah.
If you don't know Bohemian Rhapsody, it's also Galileo, Galileo, Galileo Figaro. Such a weird song.
It really is.
But it's, yeah. But we are not speaking about that today.
No, we definitely
We are definitely not speaking about that today. Today, we are talking about a murder that had a shocking plot twist. We love a good plot twist. I love reading. I love movies. I love when there's a plot twist where you're like, what? In February 2018, a 911 call of a tragic accident which occurred came into the police station.
Dun, dun, dun.
Lori Eisenberg phoned about her husband Larry's disappearance into the freezing water. However, as investigators searched tirelessly for the missing man, they were shocked by a dark secret that came bubbling up to the surface prior to the horrific ordeal.
That is insane.
We love plot twists. We love mystery. We love mayhem. That is why we run a crime show, if you haven't figured out by now. So... Laurie and Larry. Imagine getting married, Laurie and
this
Larry.
This is where the problem started.
Yeah.
The moment she said, I'm Laurie, and he said, I'm Larry, go your separate ways.
Yeah, shame.
This
Sorry.
Is unacceptable.
Sorry.
Honestly.
Okay, so Laurie and Larry, L squared, seem to be a prominent, happy couple.
Yes.
Laurie and Larry each had several children from a previous relationship, and those close to the couple reported that they never argued and were always complimenting each other. But remember, looks can be deceiving.
Yeah.
On February 13th, oh, shame, the day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
On February the 13th, 2018, Larry and Laurie set off for a sunrise boat ride on Lake Coeur d'Alene. We're going with that. Okay, we're just going with the lake. But before departing, Larry sent his daughter a photo of the sunrise. Larry also messaged one of his good friends that morning and mentions he was not feeling well enough to fish. However, they decided they were still going to go out onto the lake.
Yeah.
Then, just a few hours later, the county sheriff's office received a frantic 911 call at 10:25 a.m. Larry's voice sounded panicked. Just after 11 a.m., they sent a rescue fireboat to retrieve Laurie and bring her back to shore for medical attention. Deputies pressed Laurie for any information she held regarding Larry's last known location.
Yeah.
She had a bloody nose, which she claimed she had got, because what happened, what she basically said was, he was speaking a bit of nonsense, like he wasn't making sense, and then he was saying he was going to go check the motor. And he went to the motor, and he like bent down, whatever, and he stood up and he faced her, and he, you know when someone just looks awful, pale?
Yeah.
And he looked like that, and he started to fall over, and she ran, and she hit her head as she tried to get the door open to try to catch him, saying that that caused the bloody nose.
Yeah.
She couldn't remember exactly where they had been when he fell into the water, and said he had, like I said, started speaking about motors, and he really wasn't making any sense.
Yeah.
Laurie stated that she didn't call 911 until 2.5 hours later because she couldn't find a phone during that time, because she had left her phone in the car, and she assumed that Larry's phone had gone in with him when he fell overboard. So she didn't know the phone was still on. So she claimed that Larry also had broken the ignition switch just before the incident, which actually meant she had to manually get the motor running. That's why he was going to work with the motor. Then Laurie said that she rode around the area looking for Larry, but chose not to drive the boat back to shore out of fear that she'd lose track of the location. So instead, she repeatedly honked the boat's horn in the hopes of finding help. It wasn't until she went to retrieve a blanket to stay warm that she found Larry's cell phone and called 911. However, after that, the phone fell into the lake.
Suspicious.
Suspicious. During this interaction, the officer noted that Laurie's emotions regarding the help of law enforcement was appeared to be genuine, desperate, and appreciative.
Mm.
Officers also discussed the difficulty of finding Larry in the water based on the clothes he was wearing. I'm assuming that meant that it was very similar to the color of the water.
Mm.
So it's not like he was wearing bright red and you can see the bright red,
yeah.
If you get what I'm saying. And they did believe he was dead because he'd been in the water for over 2 hours.
Mm.
Upon boarding the vessel, detectives immediately noticed blood spatter on several areas, presumably from Laurie's nose. Despite Laurie's claims about the ignition switch breaking just before Larry fell into the waters, officers located the kill switch and lanyard on the floor. And investigators found it odd because the kill switch and the lanyard must be attached to the ignition in order to get the motor to run. Furthermore, the ignition key seemed to have been bent, suggesting a struggle. When deputies found the keys, they asked Laurie, and she kind of was couldn't answer their
yeah.
questions. They also found other various keys, her purse, which contained a near-empty bottle of Naked Juice, which I'm assuming is a brand in the States. We
yeah.
don't have it here in South Africa. They also located the truck that Larry and Laurie had used on shore. They found Laurie's misplaced cell phone, in addition to an unknown spilled liquid in a cup holder, a bottle of allergy medicine, which had an active ingredient called, now again, this is a very scientific word,
yeah.
diphenhydramine. Okay, and apparently this can cause drowsiness when taken in large doses.
Mm.
Laurie's lack of accurate knowledge regarding Larry's last known location resulted in a vast search area. Therefore, they actually had to use sonar equipment and not divers, because apparently divers can only be under the water for a maximum of 6 minutes, especially when it's that deep.
Yeah.
They then started to use sonar, and they also flew helicopters back and forth over the lake in hopes of spotting him. That same day, the sonar rescue team spent 3 to 3.5 hours on the lake searching for Larry. Even they carried on and going until it was actually too dark to see. At this point, it was being treated as a recovery mission rather than a rescue, because obviously now you know he's dead.
Yes.
There's like no way this man is alive.
Yeah.
An officer met Laurie at the hospital to find out more details by showing her a map. Laurie also seemed confused about the bent key, like I said earlier, and actually couldn't keep her story straight. And apparently sometimes, it was quite interesting with the research I was doing, the video I was watching, they kind of explained how whenever questions started, she'd like start fiddling with her hands, which at first they kind of brushed off as like, this woman's just lost her husband, it's obviously stress.
Yeah.
But as they go on, it actually became quite a big thing to tell when she was like lying.
Yeah.
5 days later, on February the 18th, detectives called Laurie and asked her to accompany the sonar team to the lake, as their efforts to locate Laurie were still unsuccessful. While she agreed, Laurie couldn't recall any specific landmarks and seemed to offer minimal help to the searchers, which is a bit weird considering
yeah.
this is your husband in the lake.
And you want him
found. Exactly. But even more strange was her behavior throughout. She would basically be joking and laughing around before suddenly breaking down into tears for no reason and then abruptly stop crying to continue conversation.
Again,
the police were like, people mourn in their
own different ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Later that day, the county sheriff's office received 2 separate calls concerning suspicious activity at their residence, a cabin which was 20 minutes southwest of town, and what they called Our Paradise, that was like their name for their house. And they said Laurie was acting out of character, and she appeared to have her family members helping move their belongings out the house, and told them she planned to sell everything immediately. The neighbors also reported hearing unusual sounds coming from the house at night, which they had never heard before when Larry was still around.
Hmm.
On February 21st, a shocking revelation was made when they sent the case into a whole new direction. The North Idaho Housing Coalition, where Laurie had proudly worked for years, announced that she'd no longer be employed due to possible fraudulent activities.
Hectic.
Mm-hmm. As it turns out, the coalition accountant noticed some irregularities and ordered an internal audit, citing the initial theft value to be around $500,000.
She is crazy!
This news came as a major shock to those who knew Laurie because she had no prior criminal record.
Mm.
Larry's children actually then asked to speak with the investigators about their concerns, and they actually didn't understand why they would take the boat out in winter. It wasn't like them at all, especially because Laurie didn't like the cold.
Yeah.
Larry's son described Laurie's strange behavior for the past few days since her father's disappearance and said the second to third sentence that came out of her mouth was about dividing up his stuff.
Hectic.
Mm. The officer tried to explain Laurie's side of the story, but Larry's children still weren't buying it, so they suspected that there was something not right
here.
All the while, obviously, Sonar kept looking for Larry, but the officers had still no idea where he was, and they still were on the tip that this was a tragic accident, so they weren't treating it as a homicide just yet.
Mm.
The next day, a search warrant was issued for her home relating to her fraud accusations, and the search of the home revealed several disturbing pieces of evidence, including black latex gloves and paper towels which were appeared to have dry blood on them, a Ziploc bag containing an unknown white powder, and more suspected dry blood on the concrete floor outside the residence. The lead detective working the case interviewed Laurie right then and then at her home and confronted her. She said that the blood on the gloves and the paper towel were her own, and insisted that she had no knowledge of blood elsewhere. It was revealed by forensic teams that the reddish marks on the concrete floor were actually just wood stains that had dripped while they were staining boards, but this wasn't enough to keep Laurie off the hook. On February the 27th, Laurie was arrested without incident on 40 accounts of forgery and one account of grand theft.
Mm.
Laurie's bail was set to $75,000 and was posted the following day by one of her daughters. But a horrifying discovery was still right around the corner, as on March 1st, 16 days after Laurie vanished into the icy water, a man's body was discovered floating face down near a shoreline of the lake, roughly 3 miles from where Laurie and Larry had went, Laurie had said Larry had gone overboard.
Yeah.
The property owner told dispatch that the body hadn't been there when they checked the last 2 days before.
Yeah.
Officers also didn't see any sign of suspicious trauma on the body, and based on the victim's clothing, they felt confident that it was actually Larry.
Yeah.
The autopsy confirmed that the body was his, but that's not all the medical examiner found, as in the toxicology, it revealed lethal levels of dimethyltryptamine, that one I said earlier, and antihistamine with seductive properties. So clearly he's had too much of those allergy medicines.
Yeah.
The medical examiner's findings suggested that Larry had likely died before entering the water, as there was no signs of drowning or stroke, as Laurie had claimed, as well as the body appeared to have ceased metabolic activity before entering the water.
Hexes.
Authorities chose not to release the autopsy results immediately, but in an earlier statement given to the police by Laurie, she had mentioned her husband took numerous pills each day and often was forgetful when it came to the correct dosage. So this was possibly her being honest, and Larry was forgetful, or she had already been trying to cover her tracks in case they really did find the body. Laurie also claimed that Larry had recently been feeling sick with flu-like symptoms, but no one else seemed to recall Larry being under the weather. The only time he mentioned it was with that text he sent to the friend the morning of his disappearance, but that assumes that the message actually came from Larry.
Yeah.
A few days later, deputies interviewed Laurie's son regarding some suspicious phone activity, and unlike Larry's children, he was obviously very supportive of his mother. Despite not having Larry's cell phone, an expert analyst actually identified the last known location, and it had been at Laurie's son's home after Larry's disappearance.
Oh my goodness!
Which was odd, because Laurie said the phone fell in the lake.
Yeah.
So, her son obviously denied being in possession of the device. Laurie then missed two court dates related to her fraud case, and a bounty was then put on her head and an arrest warrant was put out for $500,000, and obviously bounty hunters were then hot on her trail.
Yeah.
In the meantime, investigators continued questioning those close to Larry and Laurie, and it didn't take long for cracks in their perfect relationship to begin to emerge. For example, one source remarked that while they appeared to be happy together, Larry had made several comments in recent months about Laurie's excessive spending habits, specifically about how much she helped her children financially. Investigators also learned that Laurie had a history of betrayal, as she had allegedly been unfaithful to her first husband different men.
Laurie!
One of which had been Larry, not to mention her disloyalty to obviously her company, which had treated her well over the years. Detectives also uncovered a handwritten changes to Larry's will that had reportedly been made by Laurie roughly a month before his passing. The modifications left 80% of Larry's estate to Laurie's children and only 20% to his own biological
children.
Does
not make sense.
Nope. With Laurie still on the run, authorities released the autopsy results to the public and labeled the case a full-fledged homicide. Authorities interviewed Larry's doctor to see if he had noticed any signs of an immediate stroke or medical anomalies. However, the doctor said he was at his healthiest that he had ever been in his adult life and said that he would not have needed those allergics and doesn't even know why they were prescribed to him.
Mm-hmm.
Based on all the evidence gathered, investigators theorized that Laurie had sent Larry's daughter the text message that morning before poisoning Larry by mixing the drug in the bottle of naked juice found aboard the boat. Then after succumbing to the effect of the antihistamine, he fell overboard just offshore from his recovery site. They also believe that Laurie intentionally used that rolling motor to drive the boat away from the location before calling 911.
Hectic.
Detectives learned that if Larry died, Laurie would become the benefactor of their estate, thus allowing her to pay the restitution required for her criminal theft. So, with him dead, she can pay her fine for her fraud. They also discerned, after speaking to friends and family, that Larry didn't know about Laurie's fraudulent crime.
But Larry should have seen something suspicious when you're one of the guys she's cheating on her husband with. Like, what do you think then?
Honestly, this should be a lesson. If a guy or a girl, if the person you're seeing is cheating on someone with seeing you, how do you know that they're not going to cheat on you?
Exactly! And they're not faithful, so you cannot trust them.
No. So, like, don't do it.
Yeah. See,
and I honestly think people, for example, women who get with men who they know are married, they're the lowest of the low, if you ask me.
That is for real.
No audacity. Yeah. I do not feel any sympathy for you.
Yeah.
She had claimed that she had stolen the money to help her daughters. In July, after 2 months on the run, Laurie turned herself into the county sheriff's office and it's believed that she had been staying with family at California during the time. Investigators were obviously eager to speak to her regarding the suspected murder of her husband, but they had to wait until the fraud case had been settled in court. 6 months later, Laurie entered a guilty plea of 3 counts of wire fraud and 1 count of federal program theft and was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison. Laurie was then interviewed about Larry's suspicious death, and after shutting down the interview, Laurie expressed confusion over the information being spread about the murder.
Yeah.
She seemed stressed and closed off and close to tears throughout the interview. However, in February 2020, which was 2 years after Larry's death, Laurie was subsequently charged with first-degree murder. She entered the Alford plea to second-degree murder in attempt to obviously get a lighter sentence. And in 2021, 67-year-old Laurie appeared in court where sentencing prosecutors laid out the evidence to show that Laurie had premeditated the murder of her husband to avoid further consequences of her embezzlement scheme. Still, she refused to admit any wrongdoing and painted a very different picture of the morning's events. And in this court retelling, she said that she had actually intended to drink the drugged juice herself, but her husband had apparently had consumed it while she was asleep.
Wow. She is such a storyteller.
The judge was like, No, I don't think so. And he didn't buy her story, and as a result, she was sentenced to life in prison with 30 years fixed, which means no parole.
Yeah.
So, plot twist, wife kills husband to pay off to pay off fraud crime.
Hectic. I didn't trust her from the time she was cheating on her husband with him. So, like, he should have known better. Not to say that, like, he died. Okay, he died. Shame. But, like, he should have known better.
I just think it was fishy from the get-go. Yeah. Like, you're the only one on the boat. You moved around. You then couldn't tell them the exact location. Yeah. Like, I understand you're in a panic. But, like, also, why was the GPS tracked?
Yeah.
That's dope. No offense to the police department.
Yeah.
But, like, I just, yeah.
It's all weird. It's all odd.
And I honestly feel like, you know how, like, no one's, when they found out about the fraud crime, people are like, whoa, what the hell, what the hell? She's the type of person, I feel like she's got lots of hidden dark secrets that many people didn't know.
Yeah.
She's cheating on her husband. She's got, I feel like this murder and this fraud crime are not her only things.
Nope.
But obviously, she's not going to come confessing now.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to be given a longer sentence.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the whole thing of all the lies and, I mean, she really did try to cover her tracks, like telling them about him mixing up his medications and being like, oh, the phones, leaving her phone in the car. Like, she did try cover her tracks.
And her story was pretty good. I believed it.
Her story was good until she started mixing up her details.
Yeah.
And I actually think she might have gotten away with it. You know how they say they think he fell off there and then she drove away from the body? Mm. I think if she had stayed and be like, guys, help, I can't reach my husband in the water. I feel like that would have... I don't know. I don't know if she would have been caught.
Hmm. Hectic.
It's... Yeah, fam. Hey, guys, don't kill your husbands.
Don't cheat on your husband with three men and then choose one that you're going to kill for money. And that's my lesson out of this. But from now until next week, no mourners.
No funerals.
Stay updated, stay entertained with ActiveFM on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else. Engage with us, like, post, comment, share them out, retweet, and repost. Spread the word. ActiveFM, radio has never been better.